This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Two of the Blitz starts now. Live on 1340 AM, 105.7 FM here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We are live on Twitter and on Facebook, that live stream powered by our friends over at MyBookie. Also, go get that FanRun Radio app. Like, I know, you hear people tell you every day, you know, you're listening to this station, you're listening to the 3 and Out, the Drive, the Talk Sports, Overtime, and you always hear him say, hey, go get the FanRun Radio app, and you just brush it off. But seriously, I mean, might as well. You know, might as well. We can take it wherever you want. You can listen to us wherever you get internet connection. It's free. It's easy to do. You just click a button, and like 3 seconds later, it's on your phone. So go ahead. Check it out in the App Store. But got a big second hour ahead. We still didn't even really get into any of the college football playoff selection, Tennessee's bowl game selection, GP3's alleged gripe with something in that process. So let's just jump right into it. What do you say? Let's get right into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
You guys want to start with Tennessee or with the college football playoffs?
We've got to start with Tennessee.
Or with championship weekend?
Start with Tennessee because the college football playoff is kind of what my gripe is about, somewhat.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Interesting. Well, first things first, Tennessee selected into the Trans Perfect Music City Bowl in Nashville, Tennessee, to be played on Thursday, December 30th.
3 p.m. local time.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Is it 3 p.m. here or 3 p.m. local time?
3 p.m. Eastern.
It is 3 p.m. here.
Yeah.
Eastern time, 2 p.m. local time for the game in
right.
Nashville. So it'll be that the second game of that Thursday. Also that day, you got the Mayo Bowl, Peach Bowl.
Which I think that's actually going to be a pretty good game. South Carolina versus North Carolina.
Yeah, that does look like a pretty fun game to me as well. And then, you know, Pitt-Michigan State should be fun too. And even Arizona State-Wisconsin could be interesting. That's a good day. Good day of bowls. But obviously a lot of people were hoping for a Florida Bowl. I thought Tennessee had a pretty decent chance at it. Instead, it's Arkansas in the Outback Bowl, which, good for them. They should not have been left out. They should have definitely gotten into the Outback Bowl over Tennessee. They deserved it more.
Yeah. I have no problem with Arkansas or
me neither.
Texas A&M getting the Florida Bowl.
Yeah, you had A&M and you had Kentucky getting the Citrus Bowl, where they will play Iowa in what is almost assuredly going to be one of the most boring, ugliest games of the bowl season.
Yeah, especially with the way they showed up against Michigan.
I mean, I assume that both of these teams are just going to run the ball, and then the game's going to end, and it's going to be like 17-9, Kentucky. But Kentucky opened up as a 1-point favorite. That's where the gripe can come, though, is despite Kentucky's 9-3 record, despite their number 22 ranking, Tennessee deserved to go to the Citrus Bowl over them.
Yeah, well, that's part of my gripe with it. You know, they talk all the time about eye tests when it comes to picking the top four. It's not just about conference winners, stuff like that. But the eye test, who looks like the better team? Mm-hmm. Tennessee is the better team than Kentucky. I mean, they proved it on the field once already. But just look at the schedules. I mean, you want to compare schedules. And, I mean, you give Tennessee Kentucky's schedule, they're, what, 10-2?
Probably 9-3. Well, I don't know.
Well, 9-3 is Kentucky because they lost to
us.
Saying 10-2 because we probably still lose that game to Florida because that's early in the year before they really started their downward spiral. And then you're going to lose to Georgia. I don't see another game on their schedule that you lose.
I mean, they lost. I guess, yeah, because I think we beat Mississippi State. So
yeah, I think we beat Mississippi State.
I think you go. I think. I guess we if we. So the Kentucky-Tennessee game is still the same. We're still just playing Kentucky in that game.
Right.
But yeah, the rest of the schedule is the same as Kentucky's this year. Yeah. I think we probably still lose to Florida. We definitely lose to Georgia. And, you know, I think we probably beat everyone else on the schedule. You're right.
Furthermore, you know, if I'm continuing this, flip Tennessee's schedule with Georgia. What is Tennessee then?
I feel like this is just a dangerous game to play.
No, my point is it's time for the SEC to level the playing field. I'm sick and tired of Tennessee getting the shaft when it comes to scheduling every year. Look, I know we play Alabama every year, and there's a bunch of old head diehards that are going to say that, oh, we have to play Alabama every year.
I agree.
You're the man, or you get to beat the man. Be the man, you got to beat the man.
No, I mean, it's just a rivalry that deserves to be protected.
No, it's not. It's not a rivalry. We haven't won in 14 years.
That doesn't mean it's not a rivalry. It just means it's not going well.
It's not going well for us, and it's keeping us out from reaching our potential.
Is Kentucky a rivalry? Is Vanderbilt a rivalry?
I would say Kentucky's a rivalry right now, yeah. I mean, that one's been pretty even over the...
What makes that a rivalry? They've beat us three times since Mark Stoops has been the head coach, and before that, you know, it was like 37...
How many times have we beaten Saban since he's become the coach?
When did he become coach?
07, 08.
Did we beat him once?
No, we've never beaten Saban.
Okay, I didn't think so.
We beat him once when he was at LSU. Okay. But since he's been at Alabama, no, we've never beaten him. It's not a rivalry anymore. It's holding Tennessee back.
It's still a rivalry. It's just not a competitive rivalry right now. But that doesn't mean it's not a rivalry. It's still obviously
it would be the
same rivalry. It will forever be a rivalry.
It'll be the same whether we play him every year or we play him every 3 years or whenever they do realignment. However, it's every other year because I think that's how they're potentially setting it up. It's just it's bogus that Georgia can go a full season, not play a true road game against Florida ever because they play that game neutral site, play Alabama once every 5 years, and get a cakewalk to a 12-0 schedule. I mean, if you flip our schedules around, yeah, sure, we still lose to Georgia.
I mean, there's no such thing as a cakewalk in the SEC, even if you look at Georgia's schedule.
Just talked about how different our record would be had we played Kentucky's schedule and if we played Georgia's schedule. That's my point. We are getting the shaft from the SEC.
How much different would our record be? I mean, I think we would have lost to Clemson week one.
I don't know that.
We would have lost to Arkansas.
I don't know that either. Maybe, I think we beat Arkansas.
Maybe Auburn.
No, not losing to Auburn.
You know, still Florida.
No, I don't. If we're playing Georgia's schedule, no. That's a neutral site late in the year after Florida's collapse. No, okay. I don't think so.
But you're going to lose to Clemson week one.
I don't think that's necessarily
week
the case
one?
Either.
Week one, we couldn't. I mean,
week one, you're preparing for a different opponent than you're preparing for Bowling Green.
Zone Bill would have been the starter. But then again, this is just, a silly game to play, though. And you talk about scheduling.
I'm using those hypotheticals to prove a point saying that we are never going to win the SEC with the way the schedule's set up. When you're playing Georgia, Florida, and Alabama all in the same year, and in some years playing two or three of those on the road, it's not a recipe that's going to let you get back to where you were. Where we were, we have to change the way it is now.
You can gripe about Georgia's schedule, though, or Alabama's schedule, or Florida's schedule. But the other aspect that you have to consider is, A, their schedule isn't as hard because they don't have to play themselves because they just are Georgia.
When I'm flipping these schedules around, I'm still including that as a loss.
Like Georgia plays Georgia, or does not play Georgia. We have to play Georgia. Automatically, our schedule is more difficult.
Okay, we have to play Georgia, Alabama, and Florida every year. All three of those teams.
Like they don't have as many hard games because they are the hard games. And the other thing, you know,
so
they
we load up with all the hard games because
they don't necessarily end up with ranked wins because when you beat teams, oftentimes their ranking falls. Oftentimes they drop out of the rankings. So, I mean, there's just it is what it is. Like I don't think the major issue is with SEC scheduling.
It is though. I mean, when you are playing three
and
of the top.
And furthermore, there are just more rivalries that need to be protected. Georgia and Auburn, we can't let that rivalry die. That's, you know, one of the oldest rivalries in the South.
Schedules are changing soon when they add Texas and Oklahoma. The way it's going about, whether they're going to do 9 conference games or what, schedules are going to be changing. It's just time to level the playing field. Georgia and Florida playing a neutral site every year, that's bogus also. I don't think that game should be played in Jacksonville. Rotate schools like everybody else does.
I don't know. I kind of like it. It's like a fun thing, you know? World's largest cocktail party, and you have a good time in Jacksonville. Like, I feel like we're just kind of being
or
haters.
Or make that every third year or something like that.
I feel like we're
kind of
being haters if we're like, no, we don't want you guys to go to Jacksonville. Like, yeah, it's not
a big deal. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I want us to have as fair of a shot as everybody else in this conference at winning it.
I mean.
Which we don't have.
I think the simplest answer is just be better.
Yeah, we've been saying that for 20 years.
And we haven't been better. Whose fault is that?
You know what would make us better? Not playing Alabama, Georgia, and Florida every damn year. That would make us better.
You know what? If we become a good team, then all of a sudden Georgia and Alabama play harder schedules because they're playing us.
The
fact of the matter is,
we aren't going to get there though with the way the schedule's set up. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we can make excuses all day long about the schedule or whatever else, but the fact of the matter is, we just have to be a better football team. If we're a better football team, the games aren't as hard. If we're a better football team, we're all of a sudden a tough schedule, and opponent schedules get harder.
Okay, it's easy to say that, but why would you want to make it 10 times harder on yourself?
I mean, it just is. Like, why run away from...
Because it doesn't benefit us. I want to win.
I do too, but...
You're not winning anything of significance with the way the schedule's set up.
You can.
For the past 10 years, except for maybe 2016, you pencil in 3 automatic losses when you see Alabama, Georgia, and Florida on the schedule. And it's probably not changing anytime soon either, as long as the schedule stays the way it is.
If you can't beat any of those three schools any year, though, do you really deserve to be a competitive team?
Oh, okay, so now we're getting to that. Georgia didn't beat any, you know, their best win is Kentucky. They lost to Alabama.
Arkansas?
No, their best win's still Kentucky, 9-3, Kentucky.
I think Arkansas is a better win than Kentucky, but either way, yeah. I mean,
and then the first time they play a solid opponent, they got, you know, beat down.
Georgia's schedule on paper looked like it should have been hard. Obviously, like, Clemson should have been a big game. And then Arkansas.
And the game that they scored 3 offensive points in.
I mean, it should have been, I said.
I know. I'm just saying, like, they scored 3 offensive points in that game.
I mean, part of that is credit to Georgia. Part of that is credit to Georgia for being so much better than everyone else that their schedule wasn't that hard.
But I don't know that they really are at this point. How much are their – if they played Alabama in the regular season, would they be where they're at right now? Because now they'd have 2 losses. Sure, they probably still would have won the East, but they wouldn't be in the playoffs. They're in the playoffs because they benefited from an easy schedule, an easy out-of-conference opponent every year in Georgia Tech. I mean, it's...
I just don't think you can call it an easy schedule, though. I mean, with Clemson, with Arkansas, with Auburn, with Kentucky, with Florida, with Alabama... I mean, I guess Alabama in the SEC Championship, but, like, even with those teams, like, I don't think that's necessarily... you know, an easy schedule. It's not as challenging as it could be. But again,
I think
one of the things
Tennessee,
you have to consider is that when Georgia beats these teams as bad as they do, those teams lose credibility. Those teams drop in the rankings, and then the schedule becomes easier because you're beating these teams.
Okay, Alabama beat Ole Miss, and Ole Miss still finished top 10.
Right.
I mean, Georgia didn't have to play Ole Miss, which is probably the 3rd best team in the SEC this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting, if you take Tennessee's schedule and swap them with any other team in the conference, I'm saying any other team, they probably finish 9-3 at worst this year. Maybe except for Arkansas, because they played a very similar schedule to us, but they didn't play Pitt out of conference. They played Texas, and Texas was awful.
I mean, I just feel like this is nitpicky. Like, this is...
I think...
It kind of comes across like this is an excuse.
You can call it an excuse. I don't care. I don't want to play a season where you pencil in 3 losses before the games even start.
Then just be good enough to beat them.
But we aren't.
Yeah.
But if you play a different schedule, the perception changes. There's a huge difference between going 9-3, hell, even 10-2, that we said that's very likely would have been possible with Kentucky's schedule, versus going 7-5. How are you going to get back to that level of prominence if you can't reach it in the first place? Like, it's not just going to happen out of thin air. Something's got to change for you to get back.
Yeah, you have to improve your roster and beat those teams.
Which isn't going to happen going 7-5 every year.
We already talked about, like, a week ago how we think that Tennessee can go 10-2 next year.
Well, I don't know with the way the recruiting's going right now.
Okay, I mean, sure, you can say that now, but 2 weeks ago you're like, I think we can go 10-2. So
I mean, I think it's on the table because of the way the schedule sets
up.
So
then do it. And then... maybe you're in a shape, maybe you go 10-2, maybe that changes the perception, or, you know, it builds momentum or whatever else. And then,
so the first time, and
you can beat Georgia or Florida,
first
or
time since
Alabama.
2016, I think 10 wins is on the table. So what, we're just expected once every 7 years to have a shot at winning 10 games? Whereas if you play a different schedule, you'd have that opportunity every 2-3 years.
It doesn't matter who we were playing in the last 6-7 years. We were losing to Vanderbilt. We were losing to Missouri. We were losing to South Carolina or Kentucky. We sucked.
And
I think that's the biggest thing you have to realize is that we sucked. We didn't deserve to win.
Okay, what about 2015, 2016?
We still choked.
We choked because of who we were playing.
I don't know if you can call it who you were playing. I mean, losing at Vanderbilt with a chance to go to the Sugar Bowl, I'd say that's a choke. You know, it doesn't matter what schedule you played. If you're losing Alabama with, or I mean, if you're losing Vanderbilt with a chance to go to the Sugar Bowl, that's your own
problem. Well, by that point, I think the team had given up on Butch. At that point, like I said, I think the team had given up on Butch.
You lost to South Carolina on the road.
The team gave up on Butch after losing to Alabama.
Those aren't tough games. That's not the schedule.
After being the number 9 team in the country and getting beat down 49 to, what, 7 to Alabama, yeah, I think the team gave up. If you don't play Alabama that year, probably looking at a completely different outcome. If nobody else has to play Alabama every year, I just don't, like from the East, I don't think we should have to either. We already have to play number 1 Georgia.
It's just the way the world turns. It's just the way the world turns, and you can't get rid of these rivalries.
It's not a rivalry.
It's a rivalry.
You can call it a rivalry. It's not a rivalry.
You can say it's not competitive right now, but it's always going to be a rivalry. It's forever the third Saturday in October, and the tradition is far more important than us being sad about a 15-year stretch of dominance by Alabama.
You love losing. Again,
worry about yourself. Worry about yourself.
I am worried about ourselves by getting better by not playing these teams.
Get better internally first.
We
got to
go to commercial.
Get better internally
first.
We got to
go to commercial.
What is that?
What is going on?
So I went to the Christmas folder, and this said it was called Sleigh Bells. So can't get mad at me. I didn't load this music in. I'll start fading that down.
Weird song.
But. So college football had their championship weekend.
Well, yeah. I feel like we didn't even really talk about the bowl game at all for either.
No,
we didn't. But, I don't even think we mentioned who Tennessee's playing.
Well, like, honestly, we got to talking about Kentucky being in Florida rather than Tennessee, and you know that's probably where you could have the gripe again. You know, Kentucky did go 9-3. But they lost to Tennessee, and they did not beat a team over 500 all season long. And they probably still will travel well to that bowl game. But
no, I think Kentucky fans will travel well.
Very well, but still probably not as good as Tennessee would have.
I do think it's going to be a very boring game.
It will be a pretty boring game. I think maybe, I don't know, I guess Kentucky has a better record, a better ranking. You know, I guess it makes sense that they were chosen over you, but I still feel like that's probably still a little frustrating. I guess the other thing is they probably didn't want you playing Iowa
again
as frequent, yeah. Or as soon, you know, as – I guess you played him in, what, 2015?
Was it? Yeah, 2015.
2015, Tax Slayer Bowl. The forward lateral on the kickoff that made just the blowout. But, yeah, so you draw Purdue. You're in the Music City Bowl. I feel like there was probably, you know, a decent amount of disappointment.
Yeah, why are we attached at the hip as a university with Purdue? I swear, in everything we play Purdue.
I mean, whether it's a big Thanksgiving basketball tournament, whether it's the NCAA basketball tournament, whether it's the Transperfect Music City Bowl, it's just, there's Purdue again. There's Purdue again, and
we need to not sleep on Purdue either. No. I saw, like, a lot of people were upset about the matchup, saying that it wasn't a good enough opponent for us. Purdue's damn good. Like,
I think it will be.
I wouldn't call them damn good necessarily. Purdue has the ability to play well.
Yeah, I mean, I think they are more than capable of beating us and beating us handedly if we don't show up.
They start the season with scraping by Oregon State, then they blow out UConn, then they hang with Notre Dame for a little bit, and ultimately Notre Dame pulls away late. Then they barely beat Illinois, look disgusting against Minnesota in a loss, turn back and smoke. At the time, number 2, Iowa. Oh, okay, so you're riding high. You know, you just beat the number 2 team in the country. You're ranked again. You got to be feeling good. Well, then you get 20-piece by Wisconsin before Wisconsin was even playing that great. Okay.
That's kind of what started Wisconsin's run.
They ruined the Spartan season.
Then all of a sudden, you know, you bounce back. You barely beat Nebraska. And you're just not feeling great about your team. But then you host number three, Michigan State, blow them away. Then you get blown out by Ohio State. Then you scrape by Northwestern. Then you blow out Purdue. This team doesn't make any sense.
Purdue blew out Purdue?
And that's, you blow out Indiana.
Oh.
Did I say Purdue?
Yeah.
Well, you know, both in Indiana. Again, the team makes absolutely zero sense. They're wildly inconsistent, but if they're clicking that day, they're dangerous. And they're dangerous large in part because of, you know, two potential first-round picks that they have on their roster. The first being David Bell, who is an exceptional wide receiver. Truly is. He's a guy that I would be in favor of the Tennessee Titans targeting as a potential wide receiver. He is 6'2", 205. He's from Indianapolis. In his last two full seasons, he's gone over 1,000 yards receiving this year. He almost hit 1,300 yards receiving. Just 6 touchdowns, but he's just been exceptional. And especially with Alante Taylor opted out, he is.
Well, there's a chance
dangerous.
He might opt out,
but
too.
But then, yeah, that's what I was about to get at. The other thing you have to look at is he's already declared for the NFL draft. So has, the guy that we need to be worried about defensively, Kistefanopoulos. I gave up on trying to say it, but their elite pass rusher, Karloftis. They're at DN. You know, he's also declared for the draft. He's probably a second rounder in the NFL draft just because he didn't put up the sack numbers he probably would have liked this year. But, you know, those two guys, if they opt out, this game is much different. I think Tennessee then should be able to win this game by quite a bit. But if those two guys are playing, I mean, they can really cause Tennessee some problems. Those are two positions that, especially without Alante Taylor, Tennessee could struggle to defend, to counter. But we'll have a month to really get into this game. Just brief thoughts on, you know, when you found out Tennessee was going to the Music City Bowl. What was your reaction?
Well, Brian, you can go first.
I mean, disappointment, if I'm being honest with you, just because I don't view Music like bowl. It's always like the festivities. It's always the stuff that goes around with it. It's good for the players, good for the morale. You know, it's like what you work for the entire season, even if you didn't get to that full level that you wanted. But they're just going to Nashville. You know what I mean? It just doesn't have that same pizzazz, doesn't have the same excitement to it. I mean, I'm like 7-5 Purdue. Like, it's a good matchup. So I think it's going to be a really good football game. But at the end, I'm still disappointed because I really wanted one of those Florida games. I really wanted a Florida Bowl.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I wasn't upset about the matchup because I do think Tennessee versus Purdue is going to be a pretty good game.
Yeah.
But outside of, like, the Birmingham Bowl, like, this was the bowl I wanted the least amount outside of Birmingham.
Yeah.
And, like, I love the city of Nashville. I'm from the mid-state.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't want to play a bowl game 2 hours away from where the home field is.
Exactly. No, it's like one of those two that, like, when you go to a bowl, you have, like, a whole week and, like, you stay in a nice hotel type thing, almost like a resort kind of vibe.
Probably going to stay at the Omni there in Nashville.
And then
they usually stay.
Yeah.
Here, half the times, they could, like, most of these players could go back home and just stay at their houses that they grew up in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not really, like, the excitement of the bowl games.
And Javonte Payton put it on Twitter yesterday, too, rolling his eyes like, oh, Music City Bowl again? Because with Mississippi State, he played there 2 years ago in the Music City Bowl. But, no, I would have liked to have gone to a Florida Bowl. I mean, I guess this is better for fan travel. I mean, Tennessee fans travel regardless, but I fully expect this to be a home game for Tennessee.
Well, the Purdue fans that were all on Twitter saying, you know, Purdue can travel pretty good. I think there's going to be more than you're expecting. This might be 50-50.
Well, when I lived in Nashville a few years ago, and
Purdue
Auburn,
was there for Auburn. They did show up.
When they played Auburn, there were a ton of Purdue fans there.
But, you know, that was also...
That was also a disappointed Auburn fan base that did not want to be there.
And that was also Jeff Brohm when there was still more buzz around him and people were more excited about Purdue. And, yeah, I think people were still pretty excited about Purdue, but it's not necessarily the same. And good luck out competing with those Tennessee fans for tickets. Even if they want to travel, you know, I still think they're going to have a hard time. Now, do I think it'll be as, you know, packed as Tennessee fans seem to think it'll be? No, I think it'll be like that. Purdue's going to bring more people than we are realizing. Purdue does travel well. You know, I've spent time around them with my brother living in Indianapolis and such, and they are a deeper fan base than people realize. They showed up to Louisville very well for that Final Four game, which obviously that's, you know, 3.5 hours down 65 mm-hmm. for them, but still.
I mean, I think it'll be about 65-35.
I was about to ask what percent you're thinking.
I agree, yes. Maybe 70-30 is your peak. And I think people on Twitter think it's going to be like 90-10, 85-15. I think, yeah, you're probably looking at 65,
Purdue fans travel well. It's just they got a really bad matchup in terms of Tennessee being – like there's a ton of Tennessee fans in the mid-state.
I remember. Yeah, exactly. I do remember that Auburn-Purdue game now that you mention it, just being in Nashville.
Yeah, because I worked on 2nd Ave at the time.
Right.
And, I mean, it was just Purdue fans everywhere. I was walking
Tennessee,
to work.
Tennessee played that week. The Titans had a home game that week, and I remember being down there, and you know, it was packed. I was at like a Preds game maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you went, there were Purdue fans, so – in another world, I feel like we could be friends with Purdue fans. They generally are pretty nice, friendly.
I can't. Fun after the basketball.
No. But the world is setting us up against each other.
That's in another world.
After the Carson Edwards,
in this
Lamonte
world,
Turner
we
foul.
We will be enemies till the grave in this world.
I just can't. And then they beat us in the Volunteers tournament thing, the basketball tournament. Purdue beat the Volunteers. I just.
Yeah. What else did they beat us in recently? Is that it?
Well, the tournament. That's the.
Right. Isn't there – did they beat us one other time?
No, we would have played them a couple weeks ago had we beat Villanova.
I feel like there was a preseason tournament that they beat us in 2 weeks or 2 years
prior. I think our managers, basketball managers, beat Purdue's managers for –
like in one of the Thanksgiving tournaments, I think that we lost a heartbreaker to Purdue.
Oh.
I don't know. Even me as like a Butler fan, like Butler also
– oh, no, we
Purdue.
Beat them. It was at the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah.
No, we beat them
Battle
in that game.
Battle for Atlantis.
Yeah.
That was after we lost to Villanova on that heartbreaker, and then we played Purdue in the third place consolation and beat them.
Yeah,
you're right. So maybe we can draw even with Purdue athletics in non-regular season games.
Even up the scoreboard. We've only played each other one other time, and Purdue beat us. And what bowl is it? That was the the Sara Lee Bread Bowl or something like that from back in the day. I don't know if it was Sara Lee. It was some company that's not a.
No, but like, what year was that?
79, maybe?
Oh.
89? I don't know.
Wow.
The Bread Bowl!
It's been a while. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was Sara Lee or not. It's a company that no longer sponsors a bowl game. They're still around. I heard them say it on the news last night. I just don't remember.
Well, we have 24 days to preview this bowl game, so we'll leave it at where it's at for now. On the other side, we'll talk championship weekend, college football playoff matchups and selections. Stay with us right here on the Blitz. Pretty fun championship weekend. Pretty fun. Started out with an excellent game. Absolutely excellent game Saturday. Well, I guess technically it started
Friday.
With a terrible game.
With Oregon beating the tar out of Utah.
You also had Western Kentucky playing, was it Northern Illinois?
UTSA. You had Western and UTSA.
That was a good
Oregon
game.
Beat the tar out of Utah?
No, I said Utah beat the tar out of Oregon. Did I not?
I don't know.
I think so.
Check the tape.
Utah, check the tape. Yeah, Utah kicked some butt.
The Western Kentucky versus UTSA game was actually really good.
Yeah,
it was.
It became really good. It was initially kind of a blowout.
That quarterback Zapp can play.
He is disgusting. He is absolutely incredible. And you know, WKU has Tyson Helton, and they have a really good offensive coordinator too, and Zach Kittley, who has, as of this morning, agreed to now leave and go become the offensive coordinator of Texas Tech. Which, just side note, great hire for Texas Tech. They've made two really solid hires now head coach and OC. So good for them. But yeah, that game was a lot of fun. But, you know, your big games, you start out with Baylor, Oklahoma State, where Oklahoma State did what Oklahoma State does and completely choked.
If Oklahoma State wins that game, do they make the playoffs over Georgia?
Yes.
Or Cincinnati?
They would be in over Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate for Cincinnati, but Oklahoma State, you know, they come up basically 2.5 inches short of the college football playoffs in a game where
they didn't get in on that last run. It looked like he had the angle.
Yeah. They got stopped from the goal line and 7 times, leading to just 3 points. They held Baylor scoreless in the second half, but still just could not move the ball. Spencer Sanders, 4 interceptions, 2 of them basically set up Baylor for short, easy touchdowns. Really, Oklahoma State beat themselves in this game entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's what they typically do. And in these moments, just another sad story of Oklahoma State coming up just short. But luckily for Cincinnati, and luckily for everyone else that didn't want to hear all the gripe that would have been from today or from yesterday through the next month and a half if Oklahoma State would have won and gotten in. But, yeah, I do think that I feel like you can confidently say that Oklahoma State would have gotten in. Yeah. And it probably would have been at Cincinnati's expense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would have argued that should have been Georgia that would have fallen out. That should have fallen out to 5.
I feel like I can still make that argument.
I feel like you could make that argument right now.
I still think maybe you put Notre Dame in over Georgia.
Notre Dame doesn't have any top 25 wins.
Neither does
Georgia has 2.
For teams that are – well, Kentucky, I guess.
Yeah, Kentucky and Arkansas. Arkansas is ranked 2.
Are they ranked again?
Yeah. I don't think you can really make the argument. I think in most years there would be a 5th team that would be good enough to make the argument that Georgia should be out.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately this year there just wasn't that 5th team that was good enough. Now, if Oklahoma State would have won, I think you should have made the argument that they should have been over Georgia, but it probably would have come at Cincinnati's expense instead and upset everyone. So it's probably for the best that they were a yard short. Other than that, Northern Illinois blows out Kent State. Utah State blows out Brady Hoke and San Diego State. Louisiana pulls one out in Napier's last game against App State. And then you get your good game here. Your good game's here again. Alabama beats Georgia 41-24 in what was really a shocking, shocking result.
Stetson Bennett did not look good.
Bryce Young had his Heisman moment, throwing for 421 and rushing for a sizable amount, too.
They did lose Mechie, though.
Yeah. And Jameson Williams, he has 7 receptions, 184 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Henry Toe got dunked on in the end zone by Darnell Washington.
Yeah, he did.
Darnell Washington's a tough man to guard. Georgia had 0 sacks. They gave up season highs in every offensive category.
This performance just, if you didn't already think it solidified that Nick Saban's the greatest college football coach of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's to me.
I'm saying, if you didn't already think that, this game, there's no questioning it now. To be able to come into this matchup and beat Georgia the way they did, being 6-point dogs, having one of the, what most people would agree, one of the worst Alabama teams he's had since he's been there.
I think this kind of reiterates, though, what I was saying a couple weeks ago. There aren't actually any elite teams this year. We all kind of thought Georgia was elite because the other teams were down and Georgia, was playing some great defense and winning these games. Georgia's not elite. Georgia's the same Georgia team they are every year. It's just that every other team is the worst version of themselves. So it kind of made Georgia propped up to look like they were some elite team. They're not. There aren't any great teams. And I think this college football playoffs is maybe a little bit more wide open than people think, too. But I think you have to consider the factor for Georgia in this game that they weren't really playing for nearly as much as Alabama. An SEC championship, that's huge. That's monumental.
Alabama was playing for their playoff lives.
But Alabama was fighting for their lives, where Georgia didn't have that same kind of urgency. And I don't think that you can understate how important of a factor mentally that probably was. But Alabama really gave Georgia a lot of questions to answer. And I don't think Georgia is ever going to look that – I don't think they're going to look that bad again in the college football playoffs. I think we're going to see a much improved Georgia. But do you guys think they might go to JT Daniels here for the college football playoffs?
I don't think so.
No, I think that's definitely worthy of conversation right here because Stenson
– well, one of the –
wasn't too great.
One of the Georgia fans that I know was saying that they just didn't get JT any playing time down the stretch. Even in blowouts, they weren't really playing him a whole lot. So it's just – it would be like throwing him into a situation he's not prepared for. Maybe he's talented enough, but I think at this point you got to stick with a guy who's gotten you to where you've gotten to. Bennett hasn't been bad on the season. He's been you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC, just had a bad game.
I agree. I would still have – I would still back Stetson Bennett. And the rumor has it, too, that there's some stuff internally with JT Daniels and with some team doctors and his own personal doctor. And
is this kid going to play anywhere ever?
Generally gripe within the locker room. And, you know, I think it does kind of feel like the team has Stetson Bennett's back more than they have JT's. Like, they rally around him a little bit more. So I don't think you can take that risky of a move to put a guy in that maybe the team doesn't really support as much as Stetson Bennett in such a critical juncture of the season.
Maybe put him in on a fake punt or something, but, to see how that goes.
I still think that that probably is a conversation that's being had among the Georgia coaches between now and then. You know, hey, should JT Daniels get consideration to play? And I think they'll consider it, and I think they'll promptly decide not to.
Just know whatever it is, Kirby will probably make the wrong decision like he always does.
Other than that, I mean, Cincy, they wrap up their season, undefeated season.
Houston let me down in that game.
Yeah, Houston
really let wasn't me down. Even,
like, I mean,
they started off Houston, so hot. They started off good.
You know, Houston was playing better than Cincinnati for but 5 minutes of that game, in my opinion.
No.
But in those 5 minutes, they played so terribly that they did not give themselves the chance to win the game. From the 12-minute mark, basically, to the 7-minute mark in the third quarter, they allowed Cincinnati to go on a 21-0 run thanks to turnovers and just an absolute lack of tackling. But outside of that 5-minute stretch, I thought Cincinnati was the better team. Unfortunately, that 5-minute stretch counts. It's football, and that collapse was enough to cost you that game and deliver Cincy the undefeated season. Michigan, they embarrassed Iowa.
Offense is atrocious.
Pitt and Wake, they gave us a pretty fun game. Pitt ultimately pulls away towards the end. And Kenny Pickett, fun game.
That fake slide was... Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about, yes, right? Yeah. Where he pretended to go down, and then the defenders were like, oh, shoot, peeled off. That can't stay legal.
No, right? Something's got to be done about
that. Something's got to be done about that. It was very heads up.
It was fun, but it's also a Bush League.
Yeah.
It's also Bush League. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I'm still under the opinion that if you can manipulate the rules to your advantage, do it.
Well, remember, I think Peyton did that one time in a playoff game when he was with Denver. Like, defenders were coming at him, and he just, kind of slid down so he didn't get sacked, but nobody touched him. So he just got right back up, and then I think either threw the ball or actually ran for the first down, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they changed the rule, saying, once the quarterback goes down on his own.
You're giving yourself up,
yeah,
basically.
So they got to do that, too. The rule states the quarterback is down when he begins his slide, not when he actually slides, when he begins his slide. So he should have been down right there because he started the motion of doing a slide.
I agree, but
I think if anything, it was just a miscall by the officials. I mean, if the rule states you're down when you begin your slide, whether you slide or not, you should be down at that point.
Tough loss for the over, though, for the over in this game. 21-14 at the end of the first quarter, and Wake Forest doesn't score again. And it ends 45-21, which was about a touchdown short.
Yeah.
I think it was at 72.5. So, mm-hmm. About a touchdown short. But with that, your college football playoff matchup set. Obviously, I mean, I feel like we all know who they are at this point. If you're listening, you know. But Georgia, Michigan, that's a 2-3. And Alabama, somehow. And you know, they were just a week ago, one run inbounds away from being eliminated from the playoffs. And in the most typical Alabama fashion possible, are now the one seed.
I don't know. Even if they would have lost to Auburn and then bounced back, beat Georgia, the playoffs would have found some way to put Alabama in.
Yep.
They'd have probably came in the 4 seed, put Georgia at the 3, and then Michigan 1, Cincy 2. Something like that. But, yeah. I mean, I think Alabama's going to blow Cincy out. I don't think that one's going to be close, but I think Michigan-Georgia could be a pretty good game.
We'll get into it on the other side because we got to hit a break here. But I think Cincinnati has a better chance than people think. Final segment of the Blitz. Hey, the NFLs, they're heading into the home stretch, and they're giving us a big Week 13 divisional matchup between rivals, the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. FanDuel Sportsbook, though, they're about to make it even bigger because they're giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That's right. You can win $150 on just a $5 bet. I'm taking the Bills here. Maybe that's just because I want the Bills to win as a Titans fan.
Yeah.
But tonight I am all the way Bills Mafia. It's time to get drunk, time to jump through some tables, and it's time to bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. The Titans, we need it. We need the Bills to win. And I believe in them. I do. Josh Allen, he's still the better quarterback. They had the more explosive skill players. The Patriots are beatable. The Titans could have beat them last week if they weren't playing with the practice squad and Ryan Tannehill. Offers like this, that's just one of the many reasons that we love betting the NFL on FanDuel. You know, they're easy to use. They're safe, secure. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. Yeah, just two. That's lightning speed. They're the number one rated sportsbook app in America for a reason. And if you're already a user, FanDuel is hooking up all customers with $50 when you refer a friend, plus your friend gets $50 too. See for yourself today why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code BLITZ before this Monday Night Football matchup, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Just remember, promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you exclusively on FanDuel. Must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for TN users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. TN site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789. Anyway, got about 3 minutes left here. Instead of doing, if you haven't heard, I mean, we were talking a little bit about the playoff matchups before the break, and you said you think Alabama blows out Cincinnati, and that could very well be the case.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and tell you Cincinnati is going to win this game. But what I will say is that Cincinnati has a much more realistic chance of winning this game than I think people realize. You know, in terms of matchups, I'm not going to tell you it's a good matchup for Cincinnati, but it's about as good of a matchup as they could ask for in a college football playoff game, in an SEC school, in a school like Alabama. You know, Cincinnati, you can make a case for them, and here is that case. Mm-hmm. They have Power 5 and high Power 5, you know, players on their roster that have transferred out, that they've recruited decent enough to get some of these guys away from Power 5 schools as well. They have a senior, experienced quarterback in Desmond Ridder who, you know, it was at times this season was even considered a Heisman contender. They have the that level of explosiveness on offense. But then here's the thing. Defensively, without John Mechie, Alabama's offense becomes, I guess, more simplified. You know, their run game is not something that they can consistently rely upon this year. I mean, they had, what, like 4 rush yards against LSU? They had negative rush yards entering the second half against Auburn a couple weeks ago.
And Robinson's still banged up a little bit,
too. It's not like
they've
been able to run the ball exceptionally well this year. Obviously, you know, they get some from Bryce Young, and they mixed and matched the offensive line a little bit against Georgia, and it looked better this week, too. Now with John Mechie hurt, their one main threat is Jameson Williams. Cincinnati has two of the best corners in college football. They have a guy who's, I think, might be the best corner in college football in Ahmad Sauce Gardner.
Sauce.
You know, with Gardner and with Kobe Bryant, I think that they can.
Wait, they have a guy on their team named Kobe Bryant?
Yeah.
They're CB2, and I think he's also one of the better corners out there. With those two guys, you know, I think you can guard Jameson Williams. And, you know, not obviously he's going to get his every once in a while, but I think you can guard him. And if they aren't running the ball well and they don't have John Mechie and you can guard Jameson Williams, maybe, just maybe, you have a chance.
I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's Alabama.
Being hopeful.
Yeah.
Being hopeful. But anyway.
You're very convincing, though, Charlie.
Pretty much out of time. Maybe I've even convinced myself. I don't know. But I mean,
we'd love to see. I would love nothing more than to see Cincinnati versus
so
Michigan.
Happy. I do think, though, that there is a better chance than people think. Not saying
do you think they have
chance.
A better chance than Michigan?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't agree with that.
I don't know. I mean, that was just, I haven't really thought about it. Anyway, we got to get out of here. It's 11:56, but Talk Sports, they're coming up next. John Reed and the boys, and we got a full day of programming here on Fan Run Radio. But thanks for joining us this Monday. Before we leave, on the way out, today is National Days. It's St. Nicholas Day.
Shouldn't that be in like,
I don't know,
two
man.
And a half weeks?
Yeah. Who knows? It's also National Pawnbrokers Day. National Miners Day. Shout out the University of Kentucky. National Microwave Oven Day and National Gazpacho Day. I actually don't know what that is, but it's a fun word to say, and I've never asked anyone what it is. I just know it's a food, but I've gotten too far in my life to figure it out at this point because it's embarrassing.